How many of you are just in love with cooking? Okay. I've seen some good hands. You know, at home, I always love to cook. And my girls always love this spaghetti that I always cook for them, especially when it comes to our own cultural kind of spaghetti. We call it the Filipino style of spaghetti. Instead of using a tomato sauce, we use banana sauce. I said that at the 8:30 this a.m. Missional Community today. And you only get that from the Asian store. So you mix it up, and that really, you know, gives a new kind of flavor in their taste buds. And they were all raving for it. And they keep on coming back and coming back. But I also tried every night and ate a small portion. In fact, I ate some last night. And the next day, I tried to try it again. And so by the third time around, for me personally, it wasn't the same. I don't know if you feel that way. It was still good. My girls still love it. Judy just still love it. But there's something about a new fresh meal served right away that makes a difference. Have you all been there, church? I was wishing I had brought something else. And you do get tired of leftovers. Can you hear amen? Can we hear amen to that? You know, leftovers can be good at a certain point. But once you hit a certain, you know, threshold, it becomes mundane. It becomes very yucky. Yes, that's right. Yeah. Well, the leftover manna was no good in the Old Testament. God fed the Israelites in the wilderness with enough manna for each day and told them not to eat the leftover the next day. But did they listen? Did they trust him for provision each day? No. They scoop it up anyhow. And what did they discover? This is in Exodus chapter 16. They left over manna was no good. It has become rotten. So the question that we need to ask today in this third of 6-week sermon series on Crazy Love sermon series. How many of you, by the way, have been reading that book? If you happen to be connecting yourselves to this sermon series, we are using Francis Chan's Crazy Love, which is a New York Times bestseller book a couple of years ago. The question that we need to ask today, and I want you to read this with me. Do we serve God our leftovers? Do we serve God our leftovers? Suppose you are anticipating a very important family guest that is about to arrive in your home today. Immediately after this service, you got to be ready to open up the door of your home to welcome the most important guest that will come to your home. And all of a sudden, this special guest of yours arrived. And here's what you're going to say to this special guest. Well, sorry about the mess, but my wife got engrossed in this soap opera on this TV this afternoon and didn't get around to clean. But dinner is almost ready. She's heating up the leftovers in the microwave right now. Hope you don't mind the paper plates. Can you imagine that? This very important family guest of yours that perhaps you have been seeing for so many months. And here you are saying that. You would like to look best, right? You will roll up the mat. You will clean up the home. You put up your best dishes on the table and fix your favorite meals. Any special family guest deserves more than the leftovers. Much so does our great and awesome God. Do we believe in that? He deserves far even more than that. Nobody would dare to serve God our leftovers. But you know, as we go back to the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, people served God with what? with leftovers. The text that Pastor Al prophetically had spoken, and I give thanks to God for his great way of how he expressed this, the prophet Malachi wrote this text approximately a century after Israelites had returned from the Babylonian captivity and rebuilt both Jerusalem and the temple. And although they've been under revival under Nehemiah, this point, the nation had lost its zeal. It has stripped it away, and their worship became so mechanical. It has become hollow. There's no passion. There's no heart. There's no excitement in there. Instead of offering unblemished animals on the altar as prescribed in the law, they were bringing God what? The leftover of their flocks. The sick, the blind, the lame. The people and the priests had become so lax in their worship that they did not recognize anything was wrong with these unacceptable practices. And because they had neglected and dishonored the Lord for so long, they no longer knew who He was. As a result, they were not giving God really the best of what they should offer. Instead, they gave Him and those stuff, those leftover stuff. We're filling our lives, church, with stuff and giving God the leftovers. When God challenged the Jews in Malachi chapter 1 for offering what we call defective animals sacrifices, many Christians raised their collective eyebrows and thought to themselves, well, at least we're not required to offer animal sacrifices in the New Testament. We're fine. Thank you so much. No, we are not fine. Malachi's point were not merely about the offense of offering defective animals. It was about our tendency to give God the leftover of our lives while we withhold the best part for ourselves. Have we been there, church, before? And I'm going to try to walk with you one by one the seven most important things that we usually left and give to God. Are you still there, church? Yes. The first thing is that we give, I want you to read this with me, we give God our leftover worship. Come to think of it, at any given hour, on a day, on a week, we showed up here for how many minutes? For 1 hour on Sunday morning. But church, the Bible reminds us again and again, especially in the book of Psalms, that worship isn't limited to one day out of seven. It should be expressed all week in our devotion to Christ. In fact, we talk about this for quite a number of times, that worship is not an event. It's not something that you go to, but rather worship is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. If we make other activities the priorities in our lives, then we won't give God our best. We fill up our calendars to overflowing, leaves little time or energy for engaging ourselves into the disciplines of life that includes what? Prayer, reading His Word, serving the Lord in many ways. I heard people saying to me, Pastor, I have to work on Sunday morning. I work two or three jobs. How can I be coming to worship God? Well, worship is not occurring only on 10:55 a.m. or 8:30 in the morning on a given Sunday. It comes with an open heart to open up ourselves to the movement of God's Spirit so that He can begin to fill us and we can begin to offer our best of what we can, even on the regular days. Amen? Are we giving God the best in our worship service to Him? Or do we rush in at the last minute, even hurried and frazzled? Do we even allow our minds to drift to secular matters important to us? Or is Sunday just another day to sing a few songs? Or to hear a great music from the choir, listen to someone else pray, and listen half-heartedly to one or more sermons? Are we really giving our full worship to God, who deserves not just half-hearted of our spirit and our attentions and our time, but the whole of whose we are to Him? Amen? That leads me to the second point. We give God our leftover worship, but also we give God our leftover passion. How many of you have been to any ball games here in this nation called America? How many of you have been to any sports here in America before, have watched the games? Even right here, Walter Williams. During weekends, I heard so many shouts of people, even right there close to the parsonage, because we're very close to Walter Williams. People are excited when they watch ball games, right? They're standing, they're raising up their hands, they're jumping. You can see them at the Super Bowl buying hundreds and hundreds of dollars of tickets just for them to get in. That's our new God here in America today. We've given so much passion to sports. We've given so much passion to music. We've given so much passion to social media. We've given so much passion to anything. But we left the remaining passion to our God, who deserves all of our passions. Luke 10, verse 27, is a very, very strong challenge to us that we should love our God with what? With all of our hearts, with all of our minds, and with all of our souls. What does that mean? That means our passion, the passion that we have in all this other stuff, should be more than what we give, or we give all the best for Him. We are passionate about politics. We're passionate about global warming. We're passionate about human rights. We're passionate about freedom. We're passionate about sports. But we barely have a drop of passion for the things of God. Our worship is so bland and so devoid of passion. Are you bringing that passion with you, church, today? Or are you just coming into the motions again and mark the checklist and said, I've been to church today. Here's my next thing I need to do. God does not deserve our leftover passion. Amen? He does not deserve our leftover worship. And also, we give God our leftover energy. I often see this in church. Christians who are very enthusiastic about events, outings. Oh, when we go to Disney World, we're so excited, we're getting ready. We go to all these different places. We go to different activities. We all have the energy to do everything. But we come to the nourishment of our spiritual lives. We get all these excuses, right? We excel in doing external Christianity while we barely put in the effort of maturing ourselves in Christ. I got to confess to you that there are times that I've been in that situation before in my walk with God, that somehow I have seen my energy focusing on things that is all about me. That is all about what I can get. That is all about what I want. But church, the energy that we have belongs to the one who deserves to receive that same, even more energy than all the things that we are focusing with. My challenge to you today, are you giving God the energy that He deserves, or are you giving Him just the leftover energy? Amen? Amen? So not only that we are giving God the leftover worship, not only that we're giving God our leftover passion and our energy, what else are we giving God? Leftover time. Pastor, I don't think I can commit to you my time. You know, I have been coming here on Sunday morning. That's all what I can give. We fill our calendars with so many stuff. Busyness is the biggest or one of the biggest enemies of discipleship. Do we believe on that? Are we putting God first with our time? Not just in our worship on Sunday, but in ministry and service to others. That's why I give thanks to God for those that are carving their time. And I don't want you to get wrong with me here today. I'm not here to judge you all. I'm here just to say what the Bible says to us on how many leftover things that we're giving to God. But I can see here at David Street that there are plenty among us here who are doing beyond what is required. And out of their love and passion for Christ, they give their time and their service and witness to reach out the lost, the last, and the least. But the question for us today is, are we giving all of our time for Him? Or are we just giving our leftover time? So it's not just leftover worship. Are you still awake, church? Yes. Not just leftover passion. Not just leftover energy and time. But we also give our leftover talents. Did you know that God endowed at least one spiritual gifts to each one among us here? That's what the Bible says. And each one of us at some point have gifts of abilities and talents, perhaps music, singing the choir, perhaps the ability to care and visit people, engage in mission and ministries that's far beyond our knowledge. And that's why I'm so blessed here at David Street that we have this spiritual gift class that Pastor Pat is leading. That is one way for us to discover our gifts and our talents and our abilities. But once we have discovered this, the question that we need to ask, are we using our talents to glorify God? Or are we strictly benefiting that for our own personal sake? Does God get what left over after we've spent our efforts and energies on matters that really don't matter at all? God deserves more than the leftover talents. But also we give God our leftover treasures. This is a very interesting stuff. Imagine how Jesus must feel when we give Him our leftovers. When our giving reflects that our treasure lies with something other than Him. I was at the Thanksgiving mad rush a couple of years ago at Walmart. How many of you been there, church? Black Friday. This was years ago, and I told myself, I will never go back there again. It was really a mad rush. There was even a story on that year when someone died, just rushing to get this flat TV on the Black Friday. on the Black Friday sale. Where have we seen this whole craziness of rushing just to get things that will fill us? And yet we give God our leftover treasures. Growing up in the Philippines, I just told Judy about this, that some, you know, one time we're talking about tithing and giving to God, and I said, I've been blessed by the Lord to remind me that God's provision is always there. But there are times that I withheld that. I struggled with that, and I confessed to God that God deserves not just even 10% of my tithes, but really what matters most is what is in my heart. Amen? Yeah. So I withheld that at some point, even when I'm already serving the church. And God made me realize the moment you release your treasures to God, everything else will follow. And he was right. Everything else would follow. He was right, because one after the other, God opened up his provisions. Once I have released my treasure to him, once I begin to give faithfully my tithes and my offerings to God, because God deserves not my leftovers giving. Amen? He deserves leftover all of the gifts that God has given to us. God says in his word to give him our first and the best, and all the rest he will give to us. That leads me to the last point. We give God the leftover of our lives. You know, there are a lot of people who are serving or spending their younger years serving their personal ambitions. And we begin, and the people begin to push God to the sidelines. We give, or they give their best years to their pleasures of their flesh, to the schemes and lies of the enemies, materialism, even false ideologies. And they thought that they would have time to serve God when they get older and have nothing else to do. I think that is dangerous. Every minute is something to celebrate in our lives today. Amen? We got to give thanks, and we got to seize the moment that every minute, every hour of our lives will be focused on the one who deserves not our leftovers. So this morning, as we get ready and prepare ourselves for the invitation, I know some of you us here today are struggling with all of these priorities in life. And some of you here can say, I'm already done that, Pastor. I'm already on my retirement years. I gave everything. Praise be to God. But this is a reminder for us over and over again that we can be the people that Malachi have stated in the Old Testament, giving animals and sacrifices that God did not deserve at all. The question that we need to ask: are we giving God our leftovers, our second best? He deserves our best, and our worship should be offered with our whole heart. Amen. And God wants our best, Amen. Deserves our best, and demands our best.